That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this, well, it's Saturday morning, October 27th, 2018. Let's bring them in on board. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And Josh from way down south. Good morning, Josh. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And we thank you, the Remnant, for doing the same thing, for getting up this Saturday morning. Maybe East Coast, maybe you've been up for a little bit. West Coast, it's a little early. And in between, it's a little in between. But we thank you for joining us. Lots going on. Need to be times of prayer and wisdom and discernment and growing closer to God and asking in prayer for direction and for that wisdom and for that discernment to be able to see what is going on, to read between the lines, so to speak. And hopefully we'll cover a couple things that, like that this morning. And we'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit. But Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, that's where we need to start.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning, Father. We just pray that you lead us, guide us, direct us, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that you give us power and authority over the enemies and the forces that come against us. Father, I pray that you war with those that war against us. Father, those sons of hell, those twofold sons of hell, Father, that attack us and attack us in many different ways, shapes, and forms, Father. Those enemies that we have, Father, that come against your people, Father, that try to make your life miserable, Father. We pray, Father, that you deal with them as you see fit, Father. We pray for those that dig a pit for us, Father. We want them to be the ones that fall into that pit. For those that set a snare for us, set those traps for us, Father, we want them to be the ones that are entangled in it. Father, we pray that you deal with our enemies swiftly and justly and wisely. And we just lift them up to you as you know who they are and you know their sly, conniving, evil, wicked ways, Father. And we pray that you just, that you do deal with them justly, Father. We pray that you protect us and that you protect this land, Father, and that you put a hedge of protection up around it, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate. We hold up the faith and call for the fiery darts of the evil one to be extinguished. We pray, Father, deal with them justly, swiftly, wisely. And we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's lots going on between, I guess we still got a caravan of invaders coming up from the south. Hadn't had a chance to look in on that the last day or two, but I would assume they're still coming. But, you know, Halloween is coming up. I think it's Wednesday this week. And if there's ever been anything to pray against, it certainly is this Halloween. we've already seen down out of Florida the satanic influence on a generation of children that have grown up without God, but with every other small g god and every other sin from you know, these transvestites coming in and reading to the children in their schools, in their libraries, to the queers coming in, the filth coming in, and just being poured out upon our children. And when I say our children, I don't mean specific, but as a people. It has been out and out war. But you know, it's the majority of people don't seem to see it at all. You know why this didn't make the mainstream news? When I tell you about it, you'll see why. Two Satanist middle school girls are being charged with felonies after plotting to kill 15 younger students and drink their blood. This is an 11 and 12 year old down in Bartow, Florida. That hits home to me because I grew up about a half hour away from there. 11 and 12 years old. They were waiting in the bathroom. They went to the school. They had knives. They had goblets. Sorry, folks. When I was in middle school, this was not a problem we had. It was not. The problem was, did Billy like Susie? That was about the biggest problem we had in middle school. But it has changed. And the people don't seem to have seen it as well. And then you look out, I don't know if it is where you guys are, but I know you drive around town here, everybody's looking forward to Halloween, it seems like. People go all out in decorating their homes and their businesses. It's like the people are trying to move further and further away from anything right and light and bright. Even in Russia, I'm seeing that there's a controversial pro-Christian elected MP, Vitaly Milonov, saying that they need to forbid this. We need to get back from this. And the pictures that have come out of there, he says we need to take all possible measures to prevent Halloween celebrations at school. Anyway, it just is something that's kind of popped up here, I guess, recently. And being that it is that time of the year, certainly want to encourage people to be in prayer against it. We understand, we know that greater is he that is for us than anything that can come against us. But the majority of the sheep out there are completely unaware of this. Guys, comments, thoughts?
So you made the comment a little while back about the war, how we were at war, and I got to thinking, what are the requirements for a war? And a war is normally made up of several battles,
in most situations, and there's not a whole lot of battling going on over it. I mean, we as a people pretty much just lay down and take it. You know, we're not taking the fight to them. And so I guess the thing that I got on my mind this morning, as you can tell, I've been sick this week, and I know in this situation, a lot of times you don't know why you've been sick, but this time that I've been sick, I know why I've been sick, because I had a stinking attitude, a negative attitude, and wasn't eating well, and what have you, and therefore I let myself get sick. And so that's what I was thinking about with the battle. That's why we don't battle, because we got stinking attitudes for the most part of the people. And that's where everything starts. If you don't have a victorious attitude, if you don't have first of all, that faith in Christ, and the fact that we can win, and that we're going to win, then you can't win. If you think you can't, then you can't. If you focus all your energy, not saying it's what we're doing, I'm just saying that it is a trap that can fall in. Focus your energy towards that negativity, and allow yourself to be beaten down by it. You know, that's a slippery slope, and so I'm saying that I have been guilty of that lately, of just not having a good attitude. And I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to get sick and see some things, you know, that I've got going on in my life. And I tell you what, it also makes you thankful for when you're well, whenever you've really been beat down, sick, and don't feel well, and what have you. It makes you think about all them days that you didn't thank the Lord for being well.
Yes, sir.
So I know it's not directly associated, but it is on what you're talking about, as we need to take up that battle. We got to pray about it, definitely, but also, too, whenever it comes up in discussion, you know, of Halloween, you know, what are you doing with this or what are you doing with that, we need to open our mouths and say, well, no, we don't celebrate Halloween. This is why we don't celebrate Halloween. You know, you're not pointing fingers at them and telling them they go into hell or what have you because of it, but we do need to let the people, at least the people we care about around us, know where we stand and why we stand, so that, you know, the blood won't be on our hand if we're just
Amen.
Holding back and keeping to ourselves over in the corner. I know that was kind of a roundabout, but...
No, I think you're right, Josh. I've seen a lot of people that, you know, people every year ask, you know, what we're doing for Halloween, and, you know, my response is we don't celebrate Halloween because we're Christians. And it, you know, I'll just leave it at that. And, you know, sometimes people want to ask questions, sometimes they don't. But, you know, it's pretty plain and simple, and I can just leave it at that. And the door's open and the ball's in their court. But if they claim to be a Christian, and they do that, they feel really uncomfortable about it after that too.
You're exactly right. And a lot of times they'll start making excuses, and then that gives you an opportunity, you know, to offer a rebuttal and
right.
and to have a conversation about it. Because when our people are doing wrong, for the most part, not all of them, for the most part, we know we're doing wrong. You know, it might not be in our forethought, I would say, and later on, once you go to thinking about it, you pretty well know whenever you're messing up. And with this Halloween stuff, it's the same deal. You know, people enjoy it, and they weigh it out, and from what they see, you know, the fun outweighs the risk or what have you. I guess that's what I'm assuming. So they enjoy the party and the celebration and what have you that it is that you can see on the outside of it. But they're not looking to see what deeper effects it has whenever you're taking part in this kind of thing and having your children take part in these, I don't know what you call it, satanic rituals, I guess.
Yeah, good point.
Not a lot of these churches are having a thing they call a trunk or treat, you know. They're just
going right along with it. There's no resistance. They think they're making a difference, but they're not.
Yeah, they're not. I've noticed those signs here, Paul, the trunk or treat. And, yeah, they, well, we changed a word, and so it's all okay. And I can remember growing up, you know, even the schools had the fall harvest, and not a big Halloween celebration, but had a big fall harvest where you bobbed for apples, you know, they had little rides, and you had little carnival booths set up, and that type thing, and you just don't see that at all anymore. I sure don't see it out here. Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Suzanne from the East Coast.
Yes, good morning.
And I was thinking, because we in the town that I have to drive through, they had a witch's dance, and part of Main Street was closed because of it. I left my son's house at shortly after 5 and saw all the parents with their dressed-up children swarming from every direction, and I took a big circle around that part of town. And I had to think, like, okay, we lifted everything up in prayers. And I also had to think of, we have to face all the buildings that were oiled in previous years and re-oiled. I think that will see us through as well. You know, that oil was prayed for,
yes.
Prayed over, so.
Yes.
We just
yes.
have to face a lot.
Amen. Amen. And I
Amen,
think that.
Yes.
Part of that is a seed planted. It is a seed of faith that's planted.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you mentioned that,
and
because it is.
We will find out who is who.
Amen.
Yep. Thank you.
Amen.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Susanna. God bless.
God bless. Bye bye.
So one truth as an adult that I have come to learn, and I've discussed it quite a few times with different people, is that most of the time the situation in front of you is not as important as how you handle that situation. And I think that's a pretty accurate statement in most situations. Talking about the oil and the application of the oil, like anything else, it's just a tool. It's just a weapon that God has given us, and so it's no different than a 9mm laying there in the console. You know, if you don't pick it up and activate it, pull that trigger, it's just a pretty paperweight, you know.
Amen.
So that's definitely true about the anointing oil. We need to remember that that tool, that weapon, is where. Hopefully, some of us fight and fight and use it. Cause I know y'all have, but I've heard stories, and I have as well, that it really does work.
Yes. Yes, it does. You know, it, Josh, when you're saying that, it is a tool. You know, the Word of God is a very sharp sword, the sharpest that there is. You know, but if it just stays on the shelf and gathers dust, that tool is not used, and unfortunately, that's, you know, the homes that have a Bible in it, that's just what happens, is it just sits there unread and unused and unapplied, you know, when it is applied, it's one of the most powerful forces in the world. I mean, the Word of God, but it has to be applied. It has to be used. You know, people that carry joke about that carry firearms. You know, they say, yeah, when minutes count, the police are only, or when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And so you know, that is said to, you know, say, hey, you better take care of yourself. Use, you know, have the tool that you need at the time that you need it. And I think that certainly applies here. We have the Word of God, but we have to read it. We have to pray about it. We have to study it. We have to apply it. It does have the answers for us. Romans 14:12 says, "So each one of us will give an account of himself to God." And that verse is true. And we will have to give an account, of all that we've done. You read the same thing at the end of the book, at the end of Revelation, that God is coming to judge. Jesus Christ is coming to judge and to give to each man according to what he has done. And we especially as husbands and fathers are responsible for our families. Folks, we will be held accountable for our family to do the best that we can according to the Word of God. There's just so many that are not even in the battle, that just don't can't be bothered by it. Oh, I don't have time for that. And I think that especially all this Halloween, they have time for that. I think that this time of the year shows just how far apart from God our people have gotten.
Well, you mentioned that accountability, and for us as the leaders, we are certainly much more accountable. We're held to a higher standard. We've had more given to us, and therefore we are more accountable. And that's applicable to any leadership role.
Yes.
We need to make sure that whenever we make a mistake, that we don't make excuses for that mistake. We say, "Hey, I made a mistake. I take responsibility for it," and then readjust and keep moving forward. Because whenever you shuck that responsibility, whenever you don't hold yourself accountable, well, then what kind of a role model are you being for the people around you that are watching you? And you're a guy that claims to be a good Christian guy, but whenever you make mistakes, and we're going to make mistakes because, well, I might say we're all human, but I'm human, so I'm going to make mistakes. But that's part of life. And the way we need to handle those mistakes is repentance, asking forgiveness for them, and even to our peers around us, hey, I made a mistake on this, I was wrong. And then keeping on moving. Don't let it be something that knocks you down and takes you out of the battle.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, phone lines are open.
Moving on, we got a lot of this. We've been hearing a lot of talk about this caravan of immigrants that's headed to the United States. And last news update that I got, they were about 1,700 miles away. But it's interesting because, here they went through, I can't remember which one they came through, but it was Guatemala and then Honduras, or Honduras and Guatemala. I get it mixed up on which one they went through first. They're in Mexico now. But it's what has really been interesting to me is you got some accounts of there being 3,500 people involved in this caravan, and then you got other accounts of 14,000 people. Now that should not be that hard to figure out. That's a drastically different number. You're talking multiple times over. I mean, and the thing is. I believe that it's out there and then it's heading, but and they're heading towards the border. And like me and Paul were talking, I think that it's one of those things that they're trying to throw a monkey wrench in this upcoming midterm election. And regardless of what it is and how it's happening, I mean, I really strongly believe that that it's backed by Soros. That's where the funding's coming from, and that there is that unseen third party, and that they are getting funding. And but it's nobody's calling it what it is, and it's an act of war. It's warfare. It's an invasion of another country. They're attacking is what they're doing. And, you know, it's they've already vowed for, they've got Mexican migrants they plan on crossing in California is where they're headed to. And the Mexicans from California have already vowed to attack from the rear. You know, there's troops that are sent down there. Trump's, you know, made it very clear that they're not to enter into the United States. So there's supposed to be troops that are preparing to get set up and be ready for them when they do meet the border. They're talking about a complete border shutdown there across California. But I mean, it's an act of warfare, and this thing could, I mean, the way our enemies are playing, they could be using this to really try to throw a monkey wrench in a lot of things in the United States. And, you know, we need to call it what it is, and it's an act of war. It's an invasion. And, you know, it's an attack of the enemy, and we need to keep that in prayer too, because, I mean, it's, you know, right before our eyes. And, you know, we've got to, you know, we have not because we ask not. When it's one of those things that, you know, like everything else, if we just need to target it in prayer, because that is one of the weapons of warfare that are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we need to be acting upon that power and using that weapon that we've got. And, you know, we don't know the ins and outs. I think it's very important to use prayer filter, because we don't know exactly what's going on and you know, what our Heavenly Father has in plan for it. But, you know, we know that He can make those corrections to our prayers if we're not praying 100% accurately also.
Right.
You know, I mean, you think about it, it's like these people are constantly, you know, that was what they've said, is they're relying on donations as they're traveling across Mexico. Well, I don't know, I've traveled across Mexico, and for 14,000 people traveling across Mexico, there was 14,000, even 3,500 people traveling across Mexico relying on donations, you're going to starve. yeah. If you're headed 1,700 miles across Mexico, there's a lot of places in there that you will not get fed, and you will not have water. I mean, and it's kind of comical, because they're talking about, oh, they just roll into town and the locals are giving them donations and paying for their food and buying their meals. There's, I mean, to go through a town and to be able to feed that many people is next to impossible. So there's obviously a lot more going on than what they're telling us. And, you know, you follow 3,500. If it was 3,500, if it's 14,000, you know that the destruction and the mess that they're going to leave behind when they roll through your town. I mean, it's going to be a real mess.
Yeah. The numbers, it just doesn't add up. You know, it doesn't. Like you said, Jason, you know, the story that's coming out of the Mexican cities and towns, you know, welcoming these immigrants, this caravan, and the pictures that come out. Oh, the pictures that come out. You know, here's one. Marvin Sanabria, a Central American migrant traveling with a caravan to the U.S., kneels in prayer after waking up in Huxtla, Mexico, on the 23rd. That's the picture. Oh, he's praying. That's the picture you see. And they put a picture out. You know, here are these women with their children. You see this picture. And that's what's put out. You know, the hungry child. That's the pictures that come out. But you look a little deeper. You look a little maybe at some alternative media sites, and you see some of the videos and some of the pictures that aren't edited down, and about 65% of these people are young and middle-aged working class men, military age men, and it's less than a third or less is estimated to be women and children, and that is how the enemy operates. They hide behind their women and children, and they will invade right with them, and you know, Jason, I think you hit it right on the head, that it is an absolute a continuation of the invasion that's been going on, and you know, most there are some, you know, maybe it's like the 3 percenters, maybe it's that once again that 3% that are kind of paying attention and praying for wisdom and discernment and kind of seeing this for what it is. But the majority of people, the masses, couldn't be bothered. I talked to a couple people in town this past week and asked them, what do you think about that huge group of people headed to the U.S. from down south? And it was like, what? Hadn't heard of it. You know, literally couldn't be bothered. War? What? War?
Yeah, it's the exact times that we're living in. That's for sure.
Yeah. What war? Well, Paul, you've been kind of quiet. What? How about some sage wisdom here?
I'm just listening. It's hard to know. There's a whole lot of illusion going on here, and. Even I was just thinking about this. You're talking about, you know, I don't know if you've seen this lottery. It's $1 billion and something. I got to thinking about that. You know, what if there ain't nothing in that pot? Do you know how many tickets they sold with people's greed? My wife told me there was somebody that spent $50,000 on tickets, and there might not even be nothing in it. And, you know.
Yeah,
it's just a numbers game, and they publish this stuff. They publish pictures of large amounts of people. Well, they can write this story. Who knows how this is done? Maybe there ain't nobody. Who knows? But yeah, it might be coming. There's definitely this country's under attack from a lot of different ways. But the whole morality. You know, I see just lots of skulls on people have it on their clothes and different stuff. And you know what happened to the flowers? Why are people enamored by death and skulls and everything like that? This whole Halloween thing is all about that. And the people are so lost, they ain't even got a clue. They think they go to church on Sunday and trick-or-treating on Monday. So, like Pastor Peter said, this country is in a spell, a bad, bad spell, and I don't exactly know how to break it.
I don't know exactly where it is, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the scripture says those that hate, or those that love death, hate the Lord. And I've noticed that very thing, that you see skulls everywhere. On children's clothing, on certainly military-type clothing, and it is just everywhere, and that is an obsession. Certainly in the movie industry, it is just, you know, death and destruction. That they do. They love death. They love glorifying it. Maybe it has something to do with them coming to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know.
Paul, you said about that film, as far as what it's going to take to get people out of it. You know, a lot of times in the movies, what it takes is getting hit in the head by a steel pipe.
Yeah, you got to always decipher on what the distractions are and where those are coming from, too. We know that through history that, you know, so much of the time they push something in front of you and they try to shove it down your throat, and there might be something going 180 degrees the other direction. This supposedly bomber that's been mailing these bombs, a mail bomber, I guess is what they're calling him, they're making him out to be a Trump supporter and this, that. You know, he had a Twitter feed with 29 of the people that he was following were, I can't list all of them, but it was Barack Obama, Ellen DeGeneres, basically the filthiest lowlifes that you can come by. And if anybody can look at the pictures, can't look at the pictures on that van and say and tell me that wasn't something that was mocked up in about 2 seconds and it was a fake deal, then I don't know. Then you need special education. It's just you know, amazing the way that they're doing that. And I hope they blow that thing out of the water pretty quick, because I'm really already tired of hearing about it.
Amen. Guys, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, hey, morning.
Good morning,
greetings,
Joe.
Greetings and solicitations to everybody there. It's Proverbs 8:36. It's one of the scriptures, anyway, I think. And it says, but he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death.
Yep.
So,
there you go.
I've been pondering this invasion coming up, and for what it is, I mean, there would be a simple remedy for it. The county sheriff down there should just go on the internet, call up every armed citizen, deputize them, put them out there with rifles and shotguns. And don't by all means don't give him any rules of engagement, and not a shot will be fired, because the word will be getting to them sooner or later, and they'll just stop in their tracks, turn around and go home.
Yeah, you know, if we'd shut down this
thousands of rednecks with armed with rifles and shotguns, come on.
Well, if you'd shut down this migrant welfare system. To where when they come across the border and they come in, you know, they're given more benefits than my parents got after working for 50 years. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, it's like the symbology of the bird feeder. You know, you put a bird feeder out, you want to see some birds. You put a bird feeder out, and you put bird feed out, and the birds just come, and they come. But when they come, they're going to poop all over the place. They're going to make a racket. It just but as long as you keep putting feed out in that bird feeder, those birds are going to come. But you know what? When you stop putting feed in that bird feeder, the birds go somewhere else.
Yep.
And they don't come, and they don't make the mess, and they don't make the noise. And that really is how it is. You know, when you make it harder for them, and certainly, Joe, that's one way that it would be harder for them. That's a way that they would, I think, know in no uncertain terms that they were not welcome.
They know they can come up against a law enforcement or a military person, because they know that they're not, they're the great majority of the time, they just stand there. I was researching this a little bit on the internet. YouTube videos and so forth. And there was a guy, he was an ex-Marine, kind of a young guy, looked like a biker, and he said that the guys that he was with in, where was it? He was deployed someplace, and it was L.A. during the Rodney King thing. And one guy walked up to him and said, I forgot what he said, but he said, "Well, I'm glad you guys are here, and you know the rioters will not come here." He says, "Oh, we don't have any ammunition. We're just here to stand here."
Yeah.
And that was a Marine, U.S. Marine, just standing there with an empty magazine in his rifle. And he was also expanding on who is behind this, and it comes to my mind anyway that it's the best explanation. I think it's the drug cartels that are bringing these people in. They've already paid for their passage. The druggies are not going to lose anything if they're not admitted. They'll just come back and probably start the process all over again wherever their base of operations is. You know, they pay a fee, jump on a truck, and they're heading north.
Well, Joe, that certainly might be part of it. I think that's part of a bigger picture. You know, I think the big picture is, like Jason said, it is an invasion. It is an invasion. These people are not coming here like the Irish Americans came in the 1700s and 1800s, and the German Americans, the Germans came, and the people that came from the European nations that came here to be American. They came here to teach their children our ways, to adapt, certainly not to forget where they've come from, you know, but to assimilate into the society and to be productive members of society. And that is immigration. That's what immigration is. And certainly that's what formed this country, this new Zion, this new J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. One came from a town and two from a city, and I think we're familiar with that. But when you have a people that, you know, that come in and just take, that take the spoils, and then want to establish, you know, what they had in their homeland, what they had there. They don't come to learn the language. They don't come to become productive members of society. I don't have it here in front of me. Talked about it a couple weeks ago, last week on a review of the news. It's billions of dollars that the aliens that are here already, they work here and they Western Union it back.
Oh yeah,
cash.
Yeah.
Tons. Yeah. The drug cartels are certainly part of that, but not all of it. Tons. Ungodly amounts of money that are earned here and that are sent back to foreign countries.
Oh, yeah. I know a guy from Ecuador. Yeah. He's been here for 20 years
and,
doing that exactly that.
Know,
he's
and,
building a house for his mother in Ecuador.
And that is not, you know, that's a stealing. That's a pillaging.
Yep.
I'm going to take what's yours, or I'm going to get all I can here, but I'm not going to reinvest any of it. You know, taxes aren't paid. There's no reinvestment. There's no care or concern for the future. It's just gimme, gimme, gimme now. And that can only go on for so long.
Yeah, you can bring up the ifs and what ifs and you know, the wolf why fors and the here tos and stuff like that. I hear people. This one woman, she ran the garden center where I used to buy my material, and I was telling her about the Mexico. I actually gave her a flyer years ago when there was the Spotlight newspaper. They gave flyers out, or you had to pay for them, but a pack of flyers I always kept in my truck, and I gave her one about the MS-13 gangs and everything, and how they're flooding in. And she looked at it, started reading two or three sentences. She says, "Well, you know, I know these guys, and they're hard workers." Well, you have to have a rebuttal, and what I say is, "Oh, my dog, the German Shepherd, she could pull a sled. She's a good worker. A John Deere tractor's a good worker. What's that got to do with anything? My father was a good worker. I'm a good worker."
Yeah. What she didn't want to tell you is these guys work cheap. They work cheap. They work cheap.
They work so cheap.
Yeah.
They'll do a week's worth. I had four jobs taken from me. Literally, by these individuals. They got fake plates on their truck, and the trailer. The machines are probably lifted from somebody else. They didn't pay next to nothing for them, or they're renting them. And they have no automobile insurance.
Yeah.
Everything's cash. In Newark, there's a amongst the black street people. They call the Latino, they call them ATMs. Because they carry everything that they make is in their pocket. They can't get bank accounts.
Yep. Well, Joe, hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments this morning.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the mirror. Pay no attention. Just continue on with what you're doing, and I'll just keep pulling the levers and switches, but don't look this way. I think you mentioned it, Paul, the illusion that's out there, or illusions, plural.
Well, you know, you talk about those people. They might be smarter than us working for cash.
because, see, I've just read the book of Divine Law and stuff, and there's only two things. Nowhere is government ever given permission to make laws. All they are to is to administrate laws and punish laws. That's their only, and that's biblical too. I don't know whether that's Ephesians somewhere, but that's all to do. Our American people are in a sense, they don't work. They love to live off usury. The stock market's taking a big dive, I guess, and I suspect that's all usury. The American people are sadly morally shot.
Yes.
You know, there's a remnant out there, but the most of the people I'm around have no idea and they have no interest. They'd rather celebrate Halloween than read the Bible. I've been talking to people, and you talk to a guy and you tell them, they write him automatically instant how it relates to them and what they're doing. I mean, you can't hardly keep a man's attention to talk to him. And I've seen that twice this week where people just jump in, and one guy repeatedly said, I'm not the Pope, I don't need a confession, well, I do this, I do that, but nobody listens. They're just telling you, they're explaining to you what they're doing. And very, very, very few want to hear what the God says. It is a two-edged sword, it will cut like a knife, but, in Amos it says it is an evil time, the prudent man will keep silent. Now, if you're commissioned to speak, you have to speak. I talked to Peter about this before. If you got to preach, you got to preach. But, and I think we should mention things to people, but I'm telling you what, you get very, very little response at the moment.
Yes, it can get frustrating. You try and I think back with our pastor. I mean, that's what he spent his life doing, was getting this, this message out, the message of the gospel, the message of repent and return to God, and that is the answer. And our pastor was very good at reading between the lines in the paper and with the media and the current events and showing to people that this was not the first time this has happened, but again, just like you did, Jason, that it's war. This is going on, but look a little, look at the bigger picture. It's part of the war to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not all of it, but it's certainly a big part of it. And it does get frustrating when the people just, they don't want to. It's almost like they can't comprehend it. They can't see this big picture. They don't. Maybe they don't want to. I think maybe that's what it is. They don't want to see it.
Well, the Bible says he who dwells in the law cannot be moved. The people have been taken the law from the church, have taken away from them. They think it's just Greek and it's nothing. It's irrelevant. And when you do that, you lose your... I talked to a guy the other day and he said, well, can you be moved? I said, no, I'm like iron. But the law of God does that for you, give you conviction and purpose and, that you can't be moved. When God says it's at the end of the matter, we have to adjust our life to it, not him to us.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, Remnant, we want to let you know that calling for a fast next week. If there's, when you look around, I was reading through the Bible, there, I guess it's in Matthew, they asked Jesus to heal the boy, and the disciples couldn't do it. The father said, I asked your disciples to do it, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, well, this, and it's not in all the earlier manuscripts, it's in parentheses. It says, this only comes out from prayer and fasting. And, when it comes to fasting, it's certainly biblical. It's something that Jesus did. It's something that the apostles did. Now, not when they had the bridegroom, we understand that, but afterwards they did, and it's something that we've done before, and our pilgrims did. Going to try to talk a little bit about that at church tomorrow. It's something that as a people, when as a godly Christian, Bible believing Christian people, are faced with a life or death situation, it is something to do. It is. And so between the when you see the signs of the times, everything leading up to this election, the way the left is raging, howling, just in an outrage. When you see that we are at war, as we pointed out this morning, and that we are being invaded, you know, when you read back through, we've talked many times how we are almost in exile in our own country. But many times throughout the Bible story, we see of God's people being invaded by foreign nations, and we are right there. We are right there living that in our time. And so when we have 11 and 12 year olds in school bringing knives, plotting to kill younger children and drink their blood in public schools, if there's ever been a time to fast and pray, it's now. And so Brother John's called for a 3-day fast starting Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it's in the Volume 8 Dragon Slayer newsletter. We got that in the mail this past week. We are just doing all we can to encourage, to let people know that this is the direction we need to do. We need to be praying and fasting for our country. For our people, it does come down to 2 Chronicles 7:14. When, if my people will humble themselves and pray, and we're familiar with that, it is the fix. It is the only way out, is to repent and return to Him. It is the remnant that will be saved. Not everybody, not the masses, not those on the Broadway, not those that are trying to hop over the gate or bust through the door. No, it's those that stay on that straight and narrow. It's that obedient remnant, believing, yes, but also obedient, that will be saved. And So we are. We have some information in this newsletter about fasting. I talked to 3 different people on the ministry yesterday that were oblivious to how to fast, what to do, what not to do, what it's for. And so we have found that there have been many new people come on the ministry. And, this is not taught. It's not taught out there in the Judeo world. And so if you have questions, if you have comments, if you'd like to... you need some more information on it, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. Our office number, if you want to call during office hours, 307-742-7582. We have some information in the newsletter, and so we are. We're calling for a fast and there's many different ways to fast. That's between you and God. We're not going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. It's between you and God. We just would like to get you the information so you can make an educated choice. You can make an educated decision on what to do and how to do it. But if it's ever been needed, it sure seems that it's needed today. And so we encourage you to do that. But the choice is yours. We've done our best to present the issues. Again, I come back to what Jason said. We're at war. We're at war. I remember our pastor preaching and telling the story of one of his teachers was on a battleship, one of the ships in Pearl Harbor when they were bombed and when they were attacked. And he said he remembers a guy just running down the, war, 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 yelling and raising his hands and, in terror, war, war. And it the people couldn't believe it. They of course, they finally believed it, when the boats are blowing up and people are dying. Well, we are at war today, folks. We are at war. Believe it or not. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to see it. It doesn't change the fact that we are at war. and the, you know, it is all around us. It is all around us. And so we encourage you to fast and pray. And if we can help you with any of that, just let us know. Well, guys, we're out of time. Sure, thank you all for joining us. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We get started about 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. It's 9:30 Central, 10:30 on the West Coast. And you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream. We also record the services. And on Monday, we mail out hundreds of the DVD Church. And so we have that if you don't have a good internet connection. So I want to make sure you're familiar with that. But come for some, I've been looking more and more forward to those timeless pulpit truths, because they are just that. The teachings that are coming out that our pastor and Colonel Moore and Pastor Jones and whatnot, they are prophecies that we see coming true today. And so we encourage you to join us there for church. Take a little time out. It's just one day out of the week, and then it's just a couple hours out of that one day. And so we do encourage you to do that. Well, men, thanks again. Be blessed, and thanks for joining us. Remnant, we thank you, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm falls. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise.